you for being a Bump 2 subscriber. In the second part of my podcast with Tracy Stewart, we look at the question, how important is it to feel good? Most of us would say very. Tracy and I talk about how transformative, realistic fashion can be for women who opt for flat closure after breast cancer. Come join in the conversation about shopping, fashion, and feeling great about yourself. Now, I think it takes some time to assimilate the whole experience. Where did the idea for your current business come from?
Well, I'm on Facebook, as most people are, and there's a lot of flat kind of groups where people meet. There's a flat fashion group, and there's a few other groups. And so people were always kind of, the flat fashion group is very focused on people kind of saying, you know, this is what I wear when I'm flat. This is how I look, or, you know, there's a lot of discussion about what to wear, how to wear it. And so I love thrifting. I love vintage clothing. I love secondhand clothing. And I'm a practicing artist, and I've always been kind of a thrift store shopper. And I thought, you know, it would be really awesome to do wardrobe styling and provide women with well-maintained secondhand clothing that it wouldn't cost them $1 million to rebuild their wardrobe. And I could curate clothing that was specific for women who are presenting flat or unilaterally flat. So that's kind of, it came from just watching the struggles that other people were having, I think, virtually online, sort of creeping around online as to what people were going through, right? And being part of that conversation and people liking what I was wearing. And so I just sort of thought, you know, this could combine a lot of things, you know, my love of clothing, my artistic sensibilities, and then also this cancer experience that I've had. And so that's sort of how it came to be.
If you could rewrite your story, would you?
Oh, well, maybe. Yeah, I know that's not a very good answer. I mean, I think that if I could go back to maybe not having cancer, I mean, that would be great. I wish every day that I hadn't decided to get the implants. Like, I wish that that decision had been different in some ways, in all the ways, because I think that I would have been in a better position physically. Just my well-being, my physical well-being would be a lot better if I'd sort of chosen a different path that way. But at the same time, the experience that I had, you know, going through that, I'm hoping can maybe help some other people make a decision that is maybe a better decision. And I don't disparage people for choosing traditional reconstruction. So, everybody has to make the choice that they need to make for themselves. I just want that flat closure, aesthetic flat closure, to be part of the conversation when it's being presented to people by their medical professionals. And my story would be different if that had been really presented to me in a positive way rather than kind of in a offhanded way.
You know, no matter what, these decisions are impossible.
Yeah.
You never have enough information. You can never foresee the future. I mean, it's just such a difficult situation that people find themselves in. And I think you're right. Just as I'm an information person, everyone's different. But I like information. Give me as much data as you possibly can, because then I can be comfortable with my decision, no matter how it works out.
Yeah, and I am sort of the same way. I know when I was going through my diagnosis, I had this binder. When I was going through my treatment, I had this binder that was just like all of the information that I, you know, nutrition and, you know, oh, make sure you get your teeth clean before chemotherapy, you know, all of these things, right?
All the things that nobody tells you.
All the things that nobody tells you. And, you know, and in no other world would I have gotten implants either. You know, it's just, I think when you're in treatment, your brain is just not right. You know, chemotherapy really does a number on your brain. And you're also under a lot of stress. Your body's under a lot of stress. So you may make decisions. And I was pretty much on my own when I was going through this. So it was, you know, it was just me. I didn't really have a feedback network, you know, it was in the early days of Facebook. So I didn't really have, you know, I didn't see other women that were, I think I was on a Yahoo group that, you know, young cancer survivors or YSL group that, you know, we talked about it, but we just sort of talked about side effects of chemotherapy, you know, but there was not a lot of, you know, good decision making doesn't necessarily always happen when you're going through treatment.
It's so hard because, I mean, there's always chemo brain. You're in a constant state of fear, possibly isolation. You have no idea what the outcome's going to be. It is a brutal place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see, it's funny, you know, I see what's happening with like COVID vaccines and how things have just, you know, the acceleration of that. And I think like where is the money, the cancer money going? Like, is it going? I don't know. You know, it's the fact that we don't have a cure. And I understand that it's, you know, cancer is just not one thing. So it's a much more difficult road.
It's so difficult. There's so many different types. I think there's something like 60 different subtypes of lymphoma, if I remember properly. How in the world do you attack something like that? And yeah. I always kind of go back to what is the cause? I mean, here in the States, 40% of us will have a cancer diagnosis at some point in our lives. And to me, it goes to what I call our matrix, you know, the food we eat, where does it come from? Is it contaminated or not? The air, the water, our thoughts, our relationships, exercise, I think, plus our genetic predispositions. How in the world does it all comes together differently for every person. Mm-hmm. How in the world do you assess something like that?
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's such a good point is that you almost cannot. And I think, you know, when you are in the midst of a diagnosis, and after you think, well, what did I do to cause this? Like, and this is again, some damaging thinking that people get into. It's like, well, was it my fault? What did I do? You know, could I have done this better? Could I have eaten better? Could I have been a happier person? You know, there's a lot of self, flagellation that happens with a diagnosis as well, you know, where you're trying to find out why. And I almost think there is no why, because it is, there are so many factors that go into it. And, you know, maybe if, and I did hear on a previous podcast, you know, the gentleman that was talking about lung cancer and how there was like this blame for lung, well, you must've been a smoker, you must've been this, you know? And so there is a lot of blame that is wrapped up in, well, you have cancer. What did you, you know, it's your fault. And that sort of talking has to go too.
I agree. I think it's just terrible. And it's psychologically, it's bad for you because it keeps you stuck. And the thing you have to do is you have to get through this terrible experience, try somehow to integrate it or make some sense out of it and move on in your life, hopefully with new knowledge or new sensitivity or, mm-hmm. or different perspective. But I think that a lot of people just get stuck and it's easy to see how.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, it's mentally, physically, spiritually, it's such a lot to go through. And I, you know, it surprises me every day that people move on from having cancer, honestly. Like I surprise myself every day that I get up in the morning, you know, that I get up in the morning because it's so, and I'm not saying that it's like the worst thing, you know, that it's not a comparison game, right? You just, but the fact that people move on from that, from the being ravaged by treatment. I read a book called The Emperor of Maladies. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever read it, but it's the history of cancer and cancer treatment and kind of what the, you know, how all of that kind of rolled out. It was written by a surgical oncologist, I believe. And, you know, he just sort of talks about, you know, what they did to leukemia patients in the early days and how that was sort of the first cancer that they treated with chemotherapy and how they did that. And it's really brutal to read. And then also kind of the politics of cancer and how money gets allocated. And it's a really heavy read, but I would recommend that anybody that's interested in the kind of backstory of treatment and sort of cancer culture, read it because it's really informative about kind of how our Western world has faced the disease. It's interesting.
Do you think the whole cancer experience gives you a keener sense of time?
Perhaps. I mean, I never really thought it was the end for me, you know. I had a chemo nurse that said, you know, like if you were, I won't swear on your podcast, but she said if you were a jerk, she used a much stronger word than that. If you were a jerk before cancer, you'll be a jerk after. And so it doesn't really change you all that much. If I have a keener sense of time, I don't know if it's the cancer that makes me have a keener sense of time. I think it's the fact that I'm getting older. Like I look back at, wait, my cancer diagnosis was how long ago? And perhaps the whole time, the time thing is there's the before cancer and after cancer. Like that's, I see the break in time there where before I had cancer, it was different, you know? Like that's kind of my time marker in a way. It gives me a, you know, kind of a central point of my life in a way, because I feel like it happened in the middle of my life. So maybe that's where the time relation is there.
If you had any advice for somebody facing breast cancer, what would you tell them?
Well, I think it's one day at a time. I know that sort of sounds cliche, but I think you really do need to just approach it one day at a time and be very gentle on yourself because it, you know, it's not easy. And I think that there is this compulsion to be, you know, lay blame where on yourself where it shouldn't be. And also, you know, your body goes through so much. And so, you know, be gentle with your self-image too. You know, don't beat yourself up for not being who you used to be.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path. Because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.